Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Sound Health Options Happy Hour. No. Direction for Truth? Are we Direction for Truth today? Direction for Truth show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. That gives them a good clue that we do these shows every other week and trade them off. So that's good.
Yeah, and sometimes one of us gets confused. So, yes.
Oh, well, we do Happy Hour, and we bring in the audience and let them be part of the show. We do voice evaluation because we are sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology out here in Ohio in the middle of nowhere. And we're honored this week to have three students with us, interns, coming to visit and help us get some publications done, our annual journal. And we're also working with them in some big projects on thyroid and other things that I hope we'll be able to report the information to you guys. And then the other week of the Direction for Truth Week, which is this week, we do things on celebrities or bring you information or teach you how to tell your if your leaders are telling the truth. So we're simultaneously broadcasting. Richard's over there at Blog Talk Radio. I am on WebEx, and we are broadcasting. What do you call it? Video broadcasting? The show. But we also give you links on Blog Talk Radio and here on WebEx. If you want to see the show, you can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and go to radio and then Direction for Truth. And before you get away from the site, jump over to downloads, and there's free software there for you. I don't know what is there this week. Could be cholesterol. I think that's what we put up. So everybody can test their own cholesterol. You can download those. You do have to register them, but it doesn't cost anything. And there's textbooks there and videos on how to use it. And we are trying to provide tools and solutions in support of self-health. So today we're going to be doing a show on GMOs. Richard, do you have an opinion about GMOs?
Yes, I do. Let me just say that I think in about another 10 or 20 years, or maybe it will take longer, somebody eventually will do research and show, this is all in my opinion, that GMOs are the scourge of part of our current health conditions because of the fact that our bodies are trying to assimilate things that they have no relationship to. There's a big difference between genetically altering something, which is an inorganic process, and something about bees flying around and cross-pollination and new hybrids evolving in nature. So, yeah, that's my opinion on GMOs, politely stated.
I think it's right up there with forced vaccinations. Anybody in our audience has an opinion about GMOs, would you please put it in chat? Or we have an opinion here live in the audience. Robin, would you come up to the mic?
Sure.
And tell us what you think of GMOs.
Well, I have done a lot of just my own research on GMOs, and I don't think that they've done any real research to try to understand how they affect the human body. I know that they're not even allowed in Europe. That says a lot to me. And it takes more pesticides to grow these GMO-modified crops, and that pesticides then go into our soil, get drained into our waters, and end up in our bodies as disease. So I personally do not eat anything that's genetically modified, and I don't believe anything that the Monsanto-supported organizations tell me about it.
they have a test now. We talked about it on our Sunday show, that you can use test strips or even send it in to these folks. And for $119, they are testing to see if you have these glyphosates in your urine. So, but think of that. How many people are worried about it times $119? I think I need to wait till the strips come out on the drugstore and test it that way. Or take my vocal print and look at glyphosate as a bioacoustic frequency and see how high or low it is in your... We should do that. We should offer people that we could do it for way cheaper than $119 and look at where somebody's glyphosate is. I never thought of that before, but we do have it in our databases. And if people are interested in thinking about that or even doing it, we'll try to put something together for it. People are posting lots of stuff already. Dale says, last month I posted a comment on Breitheart in response to the Dr. Oz should be removed from Columbia article. I mentioned that the one of Dr. Oz's bashers was none other than the pro-GMO advocate, Dr. Henry Miller. Well, good, because we're going to watch some of this evening and see what happened in this aftermath. So we thought we'd bring you a few things. What is glyphosate? It is something that destroys the DNA. They've taken out, I think it's taurine and glutathione out of the seeds, mutilated them so that it kills all the weeds. And you can see a direct correlation of what we're showing here. And I put the chat in our website chat. Glyphosate and autism. And you can see when glyphosate began to be introduced, and the more glyphosate, the more autism. So there you go. And we had Stephanie Seneff on talking about glyphosate not too long ago. You could go back and listen to that show. So I wanted to start by saying Dr. Oz is one of the people who have stood up and for the public and said, this is wrong. He doesn't say GMO foods are wrong. He says GMO foods in the grocery store or any place should be labeled. Now, for those of you who follow us, then we're going to be using the Nano Voice personality profiler to see if Dr. Oz is telling the truth. We're going to run a couple of short little videos about what GMOs are and then show you how he got attacked from whom for saying that your food ought to be labeled. That's not the right one. This looks a little dark. Can you see it okay, Richard?
I think it'll be okay once it gets rolling.
This piece of bread right here, right? It's a normal loaf. That's what it looks like. But see this little label right here? You probably never noticed it before. It says GMO-free. The fact that you have never noticed it bothers me. GMO stands for genetically modified organism. It means foods that have been genetically changed to grow faster and resist disease. But are they safe for you? Most of us are eating genetically modified foods, and we don't even know it. And as much as 80% of all packaged food contains GMO products. Now, you have the right to know exactly what's in your food. So today, I'm revealing what you need to know about GMOs. Imagine the perfect salmon, genetically engineered so it grows to eating weight in just half the time. The FDA is on the brink of approving this technofish. To some, that's a miracle of science. But to others, it's frankenfood. You probably don't realize it, but about 20 years ago, your food supply underwent a radical change, thanks to a revolution in biotechnology. Scientists pioneered the art of creating new super crops by taking the DNA from one species and splicing it into the DNA of another. The idea is simple. Create the hardiest plant possible so that it can fight off insects, disease, even the most powerful weed killers. The hope for both farmers and consumers, more crops and much cheaper food. Today, at least 85% of soybeans, corn, sugar beets, and canola, foods you probably eat in some form every single day, are grown from GMO seeds. And the vast majority of those seeds come from just one corporation, Monsanto. And what's so special about Monsanto's GMO seeds? Most of them have been designed to tolerate the number one herbicide in the world, which is also made by Monsanto. American farmers have embraced these techno crops, but not everyone is on board. Six European countries have banned GMOs, concerned about their safety and contamination of their own crops. So the question to ask yourself today, are you and your family eating genetically modified foods? Would you even know? But before the taping, we asked our audience how many would buy food they knew was genetically modified. 80% of you said you would not. That's a number out there. Now, we know we have crossbreeding for better traits in our food. So how is that different from GMOs? As a surgeon, I am certainly in favor of scientific advances. I put pig valves in human hearts to fix valves that otherwise would have killed the patient. So I get all that. But I'm doing this show today to arm you with the information you need to make the best decisions about GMOs for your family. So here to help me make sense of it all are Dr. Ramila Ranald. She's a leading geneticist in the field of GMO plants. She's a professor of plant pathology at the University of California, Davis, and the author of Tomorrow's Table, Organic Farming, Genetics, and the Future of Food. Dr. Michael Hansen is also joining us. He's a biologist and an ecologist. He's a lead researcher at Consumer Reports magazine and has been studying the effects of GMOs on our health since they were introduced to the market. Also with me is Jeffrey Smith, the executive director of the Institute for Responsible Technology and the author of Seeds of Deception. He is calling for mandatory labeling of GMO foods. So, Dr. Hansen, if you don't mind, explain to me a little bit about what GMO foods are.
Well, basically what a GMO food is, Dr. Oz, is they take genetic material from a number of different sources. So, for example, soybeans are engineered. So they take genetic material from a virus and a bacteria, and they insert it into the soybean plant so that you can spray this herbicide, which should normally kill it, Roundup, and it won't be killed now.
Jeffrey, how common are GMOs in our food supply?
Well, the five major GM crops are soy, here's some tofu, some cottonseed oil, canola oil, corn oil, it's also corn on the cob. We have sugar from sugar beets, most of the U.S. sugar is from sugar beets, as well as cane. And here's papaya from Hawaii, and there's also a little zucchini and crookneck squash. But the five major ones, soy, corn, cotton, canola, and sugar beets, are in more than 80% of processed foods in the United States.
Yeah. Let me put genetic engineering really works. So here's an example. We've got two ladders here. Welcome. How are you?
Hi.
What's your first name?
Geneva.
Geneva's joining me. So we've got two ladders here, and they are two different species. Right? We've got a ladder which represents the DNA of our cells. That's red, and we've got one that's yellow. Now, if I take, and Geneva, take off that little rung if you don't mind. If I take my rung and exchange it with Geneva's rung, we are now making species that are different from what they used to be because the DNA is fundamentally altered. But we have been able to change now in a very intricate way how the DNA of a cell responds and thus creating different species which will respond differently in the wild. Thank you, Geneva.
Thank you.
All right, now, Dr. Hansen, talk to me about who's making these products and why have they become so prevalent?
The vast majority of traits trace back to one company, Monsanto.
So we actually asked Monsanto, who that's the main corporation, you've heard their name several times, if they would talk a little bit about this. Did they create the genetically engineered seeds? And they declined to participate in the segment, but they did provide us a response, and here it is in part. There's no need for or value in testing the safety of GM foods in humans. So long as the introduced protein is determined safe, food from GM crops determined to be substantially equivalent is not expected to pose any health risks. Further, it is impossible to design a long-term safety test in humans. Dr. Ronald, in your lab, you actually have done some work looking at genetically modified rice. Talk to me about GMO foods and what you see as their future.
Okay, so first it's helpful to know what we eat every day. So everything we eat has been genetically altered by some sort of methods. Genetic engineering is another process, which is a very precise process, and indeed one of the interesting aspects is you can take a gene from a different species and insert it. So if we can create a different type of agriculture, a more sustainable agriculture, by integrating our best farming practices and the best science, then we have made tremendous benefits to our children and our grandchildren.
So the potential risks and rewards are central to the great debate on GMOs. So I'm going to go over them so we can be all on the same page. And here are the reasons that I've heard proponents of genetic modified foods argue that it's good for us. So here's the list. It's cheaper, less expensive. You've got an ability to farm in unfavorable climates. You have the possibility of disease-fighting foods. You have the ability to improve the lives of farmers. And finally, you have less pesticides being used. Now, here's a list of all the questions that I've heard scientists ask about GMOs. And these are the concerns that opponents of this technology have voiced. Endocrine disruptors, they could lead to organ damage. They might decrease fertility. They might increase allergies. And you might have, in fact, inducing pesticide resistance. So we're going to debate all those in a second. So, Dr. Hansen, take us through some of the suspected risks being studied.
So this genetically engineered salmon that they're trying to get approved on the market, there's some evidence that that could have an increased allergenic potential. I should also point out that another concern that is talked about, this endocrine disruption, there's evidence that Roundup may be an endocrine disruptor. It's actually used a lot on these crops, and in fact, we've actually increased the amount of pesticide used by over 330 million pounds.
I think I better address that. Yeah. It really is important for the audience to know that it's not been a single instance of harm to human health or the environment using genetically engineered crops.
Jeffrey, thoughts on that?
Well, I think that that's a lot of unfortunate, misleading information. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine said there's so much evidence from harm from animal feeding studies, including reproductive disorders, immune system problems, accelerated aging. They said all doctors in the United States should prescribe non-GMO diets to every patient, whereas when the biotech industry sees that evidence, they tend to attack the scientists, distort or deny the findings, and then repeat over and over again that the stuff doesn't hurt people. But unfortunately, we think it does. We think the single most common result of genetic engineering is surprise side effects. Therefore, we say it's not responsible to feed the products of this infant science to the entire population or release them into the environment where they can never be recalled. Someday, we may be able to safely and predictably manipulate the DNA, but it's not today.
What do you think about that thought?
So the points that are raised by Jeffrey Smith have been widely refuted. I urge the audience to go to academicsreview.org. biofortified.org, ucbiotech.org. These are all university-based information sources.
So here's the problem. You know, this is, I see this frequently in lots of different areas. The population that believes that GMO foods are safe will believe they're safe. The population that believes they're not safe is not going to believe they're safe. And it doesn't matter if you go to read a website. So convince me, I'm just sitting here, I'm asking, everyone watching this program sitting at home asking that question. They're saying either you're full of it or Jeffrey's full of it.
Well, I love that question. That's exactly the right question. So think about it this way. Think about science. Science is a deliberative process. Science does not make policy, but we need to make policy based on the best science. So you go with the scientific consensus. You go with the best medical advice. And if it was up to me to make policy, I would definitely go with the science-based information rather than ideas that have been put forth by non-scientists.
So you bring this up. I'm just going to forget about what these scientists say, because we're going to go back. And you have something concrete to say about this?
Yes,
Jeffrey
Smith is not a scientist.
I'm going to.
Yes.
I'm going to get
okay.
Before we get to Jeffrey. It's true, Jeffrey Smith, that he is a scientist. So then I'm going to say, I want to point out one thing before we even get to them. I have a map here of Europe. This is a map of countries that do not allow genetically modified foods to be grown within their national borders. So there are scientists there. They must have something that's bothering them that makes them not want to grow these things or forces them to want to label when it's genetically modified.
So the scientific community is perfectly comfortable with genetically engineered crops. So when these crops are banned in Europe, they still eat them. They import genetically engineered corn to feed to their animals because they are not able to produce enough food to feed their population.
Okay. I think one thing that actually should be pointed out is we do need more science on these crops because unlike in Europe and in other parts of the world, in Europe, for example, if you want to bring a GMO onto the market, there's required safety testing, right?
Yeah.
In this country, we don't... The FDA does not require any special safety testing at all. These crops are treated no differently than conventionally bred crops. There's no requirement for safety testing, and in fact, except for the Flavor Saver tomato, the FDA has never made a conclusion about the safety of any of these crops. So,
at the end of the day, what I'm most interested in, what I expect the viewers interested in, is whether this food's good for my kids. And so all those are wonderful things, and I want to cure famine in Africa, too. But Dr. Albrecht, point, you're not a doctor. If you just help everyone understand why you're sitting here.
Well, I work with doctors all over the world. I published a book called Genetic Roulette, The Documented Health Risks of Genetically Engineered Foods. We found 65. We found GMOs were linked to thousands of sick, sterile, and dead livestock, thousands of toxic and allergic reactions in humans, and damage to virtually every organ and every system studied.
Let me ask the big question for me, which is one solution is to give you labels,
right,
and tell you that this has genetically modified foods in it. You might want to buy those foods, or you can skip them if you don't want to have them. So, Jeffrey, just give us 2 seconds about the labeling movement, the pros, cons. Do you think it has promise?
Well, I think it's hugely important. 9 out of 10 Americans want GMOs labeled, and most Americans, like most people in the audience, say they would avoid GMOs if they were labeled. So because there's no requirement for labels, we have a non-GMO shopping guide at non-GMOshoppingguide.com, where you can find thousands of products that are specifically non-genetically modified so people can make healthier choices, especially for their kids who are most at risk.
Dr. Ronald, thanks for giving us a second.
I was trying to get everybody's voices as we were doing all of this as we were going along. Now, they're talking about GMO labeling. This lady, whose name I can't remember, I don't want to be over here on this one. Okay, cancel. This is Jeffrey Smith talking. He is the one that is fighting for labeling. He doesn't like Monsanto. But he has very, very little foundation. Most of his stuff is in childlike naivete and fantasy. So maybe they're thinking by being on this show, it may affect something. But if you look at his intent for Dr. Smith, it's C-sharp, it's justice, 705 in C-sharp. But I will tell you, this is much like Obama's chart in that justice my way or the highway kind of thing. When we look at this lady in red, she is also in fantasy land. A lot of her information, but she does have a pretty strong foundation. She has E missing, her words are up in fantasy, so she doesn't have any foundation for her words. G sharp, she does have a little bit of foundation there, 12, but it's split. So the G sharp is about getting something in useful fruition. So she doesn't know how to go about conquering this, and she is up here in fantasy land too, but she's got a score of 435. It should be 42. But it's an information brokering, and she has very high scores in F and, well, E and F. That tells me somebody's paying for her words. So somebody is paying her to say this. The guy.
And I would suggest that that's why she has such a strong foundation, because she's been highly educated to be the word person who's able to, you know, quickly attack and refute. You know, she's been trained.
Her words have no foundation. They're all up in fantasy. So that always tells that this is not her words, but somebody else's words that she wants to believe is true. And when you get high F and F sharp with high E in fantasy, somebody's paid him to do it. So one more, and then we've got some comments. This is the anti-GMO guy in the middle, and you can see that he has a bit of a foundation in spiritual. Most of his issues are in A-sharp. Could also mean immune. And I hear you guys saying, you need a book with all this stuff in it. Well, I need to write up each of these articles, these people's vocal prints, to show what's going on. But he's on the other side, and just as high of justice, his justice is 99 and fantasy, but all three of these people have issues in being in fantasy. They're not telling the truth. They're telling what they hope is the truth or what someone has told them they need to believe. Now, if you look at this last guy, the anti-GMO guy, where it comes to F&F Sharp being paid and the money, is not there. But he does have a 33 on E. So even though his words are in fantasy, he's not been paid to do it. It's from his spiritual faith that he's saying this. That's kind of awesome about what's going on. Richard, do you have any comments?
No, I'd like him to put on boxing gloves and just go in the ring and slug it out. Excuse me.
You have any comments about GMO?
Well, I just, you know, they're all speaking, you know, as I see what you're saying about their charts, they're all operating from some position of fantasy. The woman in the red is a well-funded speaker on fantasy. The anti-GMO guy is just an idiot. That's my opinion. Well, they're both, you know, she's kind of evil because she's so well-funded and he's just an idiot. And Jeff Smith is passionate and wants to be speaking the truth. You know, go ahead.
The two guys have justice involved. When you're looking at this lady, let's see where her justice is. It's high too, 224. And they all, well, the white-haired guy that talked anti-GMOs, the lady with the red shirt, the pro-GMO, both of them have foundation. But you get to Jeffrey Smith, he doesn't have foundation. He has ego. I think this is his. Yes. But he lacks foundation across the board. He's got his biggest one is 49, E and F. So E, the words, and F, a plan. D sharp, an information broker. But then you hop up here, and he's got this C sharp for justice. You can get a chart of this on our site under soundhealthoptions.com. Go to downloads, go to nano, and there's a chart that tells you what each of these notes, C, C sharp, D, and so you can evaluate these for yourself. We've put the chats in for you, the links, so you can go evaluate these for yourself and click this little monitor up here, and it will give you this information that says your highest note deals with justice. But if you look at the top, this is non-reality, and the second one down is fantasy. And all three of these people have their head in fantasy. Okay, now do you think what Dr. Oz was saying is something that's bad, that should be GMO labeling? That's all he's saying, not GMOs are bad. You should have GMO labeling.
Yeah, and actually that would be an interesting, I don't know if they get into that argument, but it doesn't seem like it, that if she's so GMOs are good and they're okay and they're fine and she feeds them to her children three times a day, then why wouldn't it be okay for GMOs to be labeled so that we had choice? If they're all safe and cool, then why can't they be labeled?
And the other thing that I think is really genetically distorting, not just modifying, I think the glyphosate is genetically destroying, mutating the crops. So although Monsanto is splicing all of these genes together, sheep with humans and whatever else they're doing. And you saw Dr. Oz demonstrate with those two ladders. They're doing that deliberately in the lab. But the glyphosate that are in the modified foods that are grown by Monsanto using Roundup, the ground and the seeds are actually being distorted. The ground is being depleted. The glyphosate, and this is a weed killer. We wouldn't drink weed killer, so why do we want to have it in our foods? Now, this was pretty good. A researcher, Dr. Jeffrey Smith, the white-haired guy whose name I can't remember, he probably totally believes he's got this high A-sharp number, which is about spirituality, and is a found good foundation, and the lady, good foundation, and she's anti. Now, that to me was a pretty balanced presentation, wouldn't you think? Well, all hell broke loose when he presented this. Well, I'm going to show you why here. Monsanto, well, we could just listen to it. I'm going to pull Nano Voice up so we can listen to his voice also. Now I've lost Nano. I've got to start over here. But this is about what happened after that GMO show and that there should be labeling. It is so out of proportion to what's really going on.
You may have seen the headlines attacking me this past week after a brazen letter from 10 mysterious doctors called for my removal from Columbia University Medical School, where I have proudly been on the faculty for almost 20 years. I was surprised, since my life's work has been built around one simple message. You have a right and a responsibility to become a world expert on your own body. And the way you do that is by having access to the best, most current information, multiple points of view, and diverse opinions. That's the best way you can make an informed decision about you and your family's health. Figuring out how to talk about your health and how to talk to you about it can be difficult. And there's been a backlash to my approach in some parts of the medical community. The 10 doctors who attacked me got what they intended: sensational headlines and sound bites. I've long believed that doctors should never fight their battles or each other in public. But now I believe I must. Many papers mistakenly claimed my own hospital's doctors were out to get me. That's just not true. These doctors are criticizing me for promoting treatments and cures in the interest of personal financial gain, something I tell you every day on this program, I never do. In addition, they cite my baseless and relentless opposition to the genetic engineering of food crops. Again, it's not true. I have never judged GMO foods. But just like 64 countries around the world, I support GMO labeling so you can decide on the foods for your family. They went as far as to call me a quack. But even my harshest critics, the authors of a recent British Medical Journal piece, acknowledged that they are, and I'll quote this, disappointed that the overwhelming commentary seems to be that our study somehow proves that Dr. Oz or the doctors, another show, are quacks or charlatans or worse. Our data in no way supports these conclusions. So I wanted to learn who these doctors really are. I asked investigative reporter Elizabeth Leamy to find out more about my critics. And she uncovered some surprising hidden connections. Now, it's ironic that I'm being accused of a conflict of interest by these doctors when, as you're about to see, some of them have their own conflict of interest issues and some integrity ones also.
10 doctors, all with one agenda. But what you don't know, several of these doctors who signed the letter asking Columbia University to fire Dr. Oz have big ties to big industry. The man whose name is at the top of the letter, Dr. Henry Miller. On paper, Miller looks impressive. But put him under the microscope and there's more to the story. You see, Miller strongly supports genetically modified foods, or GMOs, which Dr. Oz has said should be labeled.
The way that Prop 37 has been crafted really makes no sense at all.
In fact, Miller was the face and voice of No on Prop 37, the California campaign that lobbied consumers to vote against labeling GMOs.
It just gives an indication of the arbitrary and completely illogical nature of this ill-conceived proposition.
Miller got into hot water for taping this anti-Prop 37 ad on the Stanford University campus. The ad identified him as being with Stanford, but Miller is actually with the Hoover Institution, a conservative think tank that's located at Stanford. The university demanded that he pull the ad. It's not the first time Henry Miller has been tied to industry. Documents show that in the 1990s, Miller was a key supporter of the tobacco industry and even helped write the guiding scientific principles of a group that was established to fight smoking restriction.
At SourceWatch, we track the corporate front groups and talking heads that shill for corporations, and in our view, Dr. Henry Miller is a shill for corporations.
What Henry Miller does is he speaks on behalf of big corporations who have big trouble, and he tells big lies on their behalf.
Miller is also involved with an organization located here, the American Council on Science and Health, or ACSH. Remember that name. You're going to hear it again. We went to talk to them at their headquarters in New York City, but no one was there. ACSH may sound pro-consumer, but it has spoken in defense of cigarettes, pesticides, genetically modified foods, and more, all while taking money from tobacco companies, pesticide makers, and firms behind genetically modified foods, according to internal documents leaked to Mother Jones magazine.
We have seen funding documents that show that there is, in fact, a direct line between the corporations that ACSH solicits and the positions that it takes in public.
They're rent-a-scientists, and they're famous for being rent-a-scientists, and this is really well established.
ACSH President Gilbert Ross also signed the letter against Dr. Oz. But take a closer look at Ross, and this is what you see. He's a convicted felon. While working as a doctor, Ross was charged in a Medicaid fraud scheme that cost the state of New York $8 million in all. Ross was sentenced to nearly 4 years and served time in federal prison.
The judge said Ross was a highly untrustworthy individual. Those were his exact words.
And guess what? Two more doctors who signed the letter, Jack Fisher and Glenn Swagger, are also affiliated with ACSH.
I think this is definitely a smear campaign against Dr. Oz, and I think it's a campaign that's driven by individuals who are connected to big industries.
Critic number five brings us full circle. Dr. Scott Atlas works with Henry Miller at the Hoover Institution, and Hoover has taken money from companies that produce genetically modified food. Those are just some of the doctors behind the letter calling Dr. Oz's character and his agenda into question. Who should you believe? You be the judge.
You may have seen the headline.
Okay. Why do you think Dr. Oz was smeared? Are any of these people convincing to you, one way or the other? Lisa, you're shaking your head vehemently, and you've been eating non-GMO foods all week here. Can you come a little closer? Why don't you eat GMO foods?
Pretty much for all the same reasons that Robin just said, but I have, I did blood testing for gluten intolerance and found out that I not only can't have gluten, I can't have potatoes or quinoa or eggs or all the proteins that mimic gluten. So just the fact that they changed the way wheat is or, you know, processed it beyond control has screwed me up bad enough that I can't even have an egg, which, you know,
what is it
be okay?
What is it? What does GMO food do to your body?
It's like leaky gut. So it eats, you know, eats through and everything escapes out of your gut into your bloodstream and crosses the blood-brain barrier. So chronic inflammation and neurotransmitter issues and hormonal issues and, you know, so all my systems are just fighting.
And your body creates antibodies to the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then
causes more inflammation, and
yeah, and away we go.
Yeah.
Is this a personal belief because it happened to you?
And I've seen it from so many people, so many of my clients, so many of the people I know. it just seems like everybody is hit at some level.
Why is our government, who's supposed to protect us, allowing this?
For money, exactly why they do everything else.
Okay. Is there anything we can do about it?
It is seeming a little tough to me at the moment. And a little.
Well, we can quit eating it.
Yeah.
We can quit buying foods that don't have the right labels on them.
And yes. Educate the people that still just really don't understand and still buy just because they don't understand.
One of the things that Dr. Oz is going for, and Jeffrey Smith put out, that first loaf of bread, it said this contains no GMO product. So they've actually passed a law now in several states that say GMO foods are not bound by law to be labeled. So Dr. Smith is doing this big campaign and also Mike Adams, and saying, well, let's label the foods that are not GMOs, and we can educate people that way. And I think that's an incredible idea. 80% of people would not buy GMO foods, thank you, if they knew it was a modified food. Has there been a smear campaign about GMOs, about how bad they are? Is it the truth? GMOs, mutations, and also the fact that they also own this glyphosate that they're putting in everything, and destroying the seeds, trying to own all the seeds. This is an article. A vicious attack on Dr. Oz actually waged a biotech mafia plot to destroy Oz launched after episode. Why are they opposed to GMO labeling? Why do they want to hide it? Yes, because people won't buy it. And if they won't buy it, if it's a bad thing, they'll go under. So they're willing to poison you and poison our entire gene pool to put money in their pocket. Wow. Comment, Richard?
There's smoke coming out of orifices. yeah, of course. I mean, the vice president, when Cheney was vice president, he made a law so that the fracking industry could not be held responsible for what they did to the water table. It's follow the money. It's the same thing here. They don't want the food labeled because then we'd actually pay attention on things that I buy. If I could reach over there, I'd reach for my non-GMO corn chips. You can see the label, the non-profit organization, the non-GMO shopper guide, non-GMOproject.org. They have a label, a pretty little colored stamp thing that shows up now on cereal boxes and various packages and foods. And anytime I go shopping, I don't eat a lot of packaged foods, but when I do, I look for that label, and if there's a choice, that's the one I always buy, and if there isn't a choice, I don't buy it because I don't trust it. I know that it's GMO if it's not labeled otherwise.
Well, people are going to want to smack me, but we created this by being the consumer and agreeing to buy these products. We created this mess, and I think only we can undo it by refusing to buy these products. Not only is Monsanto trying to control GMO foods, but also the seeds. And I know you have comments about that, Richard.
Well, there's a whole other, I'm trying to think of words I can say on air, bad thing they do also. It's not as much here as it is in third world countries where they sell seeds. They sell what are called, they came up with a breed, the GMO seeds, or figured out a way to make some GMO seeds what are called terminator seeds. And so that means that you plant them once, you get a food crop out of them, but you get no seeds off of them. Whereas farmers for years have collected seeds and been able to grow another set of crops the following year. But now they've made terminator seeds, so in third world countries where they have a bucket of rocks and some sand and a cup of water, and they have to feed a small village, they have to buy seeds new every year because Monsanto has come in and made these terminator seeds, which don't allow seed to be produced that will grow again. So that's another...
It's a blessing that we were able to...
Sorry, go ahead.
Bad thing. That's another bad thing about GMOs. I mean, besides, that's not even about the issue of eating a GMO food. That's about now you're messing with the farmer's ability or a village's ability to grow their own food because they're saying, oh, no, you have to buy seeds from us every year.
So control again. And so if we have to buy the seeds and the food from them, money in their pocket. You know, I'm beginning to believe that it's the money brokers, the banks, the people who run, the big bank that runs everything. I'm beginning to believe it's not people who are on population control. It's not people who are incredibly egotistical. It's the money people that are pushing all of this.
It's how much, you know, it's how much money they can make off of selling those seeds and how they can control various industries and, you know, say, oh, no, you can't use it. Those seeds won't do you. Here are these seeds. We're going to sell them to you and not tell you they're Terminator seeds. And after you grow your crop, you're going to go try and grow a crop and then go, oh, those didn't work. We need to buy more seeds.
So it's entrapment to control the food supply.
I think it's less about control. I think it's more about greed.
Okay, we're back to the money again.
That's well, mine. Yeah. I'm like a boomerang.
If you have the most money, you can be in control, because if you aren't big enough to control, you can buy the people who are.
Or you can threaten somebody like Oz, who's a nationally syndicated, love him or hate him, he's a nationally syndicated TV show 5 days a week talking about this on regular airwaves, and suddenly he says something that the money people do not like, and look at how he's gotten attacked. You know, they put this together, this whole goon squad, the Henry Miller goon squad, who, you know, coming after him, looking like, look, we're, and they're all based on, you know, they're mostly funded by the agri-companies. It's unbelievable.
And his wasn't even GMOs are bad. It's just less informed people if there's a GMO issue here. And they sent, it's the mafia, they sent goons after him. When you look at what Mike Adams said about all of this, and there's several attacks, and I'm going to put all of these in the chat. But is this the Mike Adams one? Yeah. Vicious attack. Wage a biotech mafia. I think Monsanto got slapped down in Canada where they were trying to take everybody's farm where their seeds got in the wind and went to somebody else's farm, and they ended up taking a lot of farms and destroying a lot of people. That has been reversed to a great extent. But at the bottom of this is this glyphosate. And I showed a little bit of the autism relationship, the glyphosate. Look at this. It is incredibly related. We're going to end with a video of Stephanie Seneff talking about this glyphosate, but I forgot. I do need to make one correction. The name of Cheryl Atkinson's book is not Sabotage, it's Stonewalled. So we may not get to speak, because we may be over time, when Dr. Seneff, the MIT doctor, starts showing you the link between, I think, not only glyphosate, but GMO foods, because it's so closely related to glyphosate. Richard, do you have any comments?
I just want to, for people who are new or haven't heard, we've also had Stephanie Seneff on the show a couple of times on the Sunday Blog Talk Radio Show. And so after you hear what she has to say on this video that Sherry is going to show, if you want to hear more from her, we have two shows in the archives, and you can find those at either iTunes, search for Sherry Edwards, and you'll find them that way, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and search there for the shows. But there are two shows with Stephanie Seneff talking for a full hour.
Our front landing page that I can't get to at the moment, right at the top, has the last 10 or so radio shows. And we hope that you think this is important enough to send these links on to your groups, your Facebook, your Twitters, because it's the response here is that don't buy these foods. That's the only way we're going to run these people out of business, because they're not listening to anything else.
Items on the table will be how much money and how much power the FDA and the Department of Agriculture will have at their disposal. We've already seen signs in the new spending bill that indicate lawmakers want to make it easier for big companies to hide their GMO products from consumers. And as we learned from one doctor at MIT, this GMO craze could cost a lot of children their health today. We welcome MIT Dr. Stephanie Seneff as she joins us now. Doctor, thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Doctor, now, in your recent article, it's making waves all across the web, and people are debating it, you make a very, very stark warning. You said by the year 2025, half of all American children could have autism. That's an alarming increase over one decade. Why do you believe it will take off so fast?
First of all, I want to make a correction. That's what's going on in the news, but what I actually said is half of the children born who were born in 2025. It's a big difference. And I want to point out why, because in 2014, the estimate is 1 in 68 that the CDC has put out. This has come up from 1 in 10,000 in 1970. So that is already an incredibly alarming change. I got worried 8 years ago when I was seeing it rising, and people were saying, oh, it's just, you know, more reporting, more diagnosis. That's a way to hide the evidence. But 1 in 68 is shocking, but that's 12-year-olds. That's what people don't realize. That's kids who are 12 years old today. If we look at kids newborn today, the number is surely much higher, because when you look at 12-year-olds, that's kids who were exposed in utero in 2001. And in 2001, glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, was only used on 10% of the corn crop, for example, along with only 10% of the corn crop being Roundup ready. Roundup ready means you spray the glyphosate on the crop, it doesn't die. Glyphosate is a universal killer of all plants, except for those few that have been engineered through a bacterial gene insertion with the GMO to be Roundup ready. So 10% in 2001, when these kids were exposed in utero, today it's 90% of the corn, it's 90% of the soy, it's 90% of the canola and the sugar beets. These are core crops of the processed food industry. GMO Roundup ready. The glyphosate is being soaked up by the plants and getting into the food system, and the U.S. government is doing very little monitoring to even see if that's true. But the evidence is there from the few research papers that have been presented. We saw Nancy Swanson has data that shows a 0.997 Pearson correlation coefficient between glyphosate usage on corn and soy crops in the United States over the previous 4 years and the incidence of autism in first grade in the American school system. A perfect match. So now they're all saying, oh, correlation doesn't mean causation. They're trying to train everybody to believe that one should ignore correlation. Glyphosate is correlated with a huge number of diseases that are also going up exactly in step with glyphosate usage on corn and soy crops. You know, cigarettes got nailed because of correlation with lung cancer. Correlation is something you pay attention to. I've been looking at all of these different toxic chemicals that are in the environment to see which ones are going up in step. That's how I targeted glyphosate. I mean, I heard talk given by Professor Don Huber, where he outlined all the things that glyphosate does to physiology. And
well, let's talk about that, because
what autism is.
Let's talk about that, because it all comes down to this chemical glyphosate, commonly found in Monsanto's herbicide Roundup. What happens when a human comes in contact with that chemical?
Right. I mean, so what Monsanto claims is that it's nearly harmless to humans. They think that makes it wonderful as an herbicide, and this is why they're replacing all the other herbicides with Roundup and using it exclusively, almost, I mean, not exclusively, but mostly. It's by far the biggest herbicide being used in America today. It's not safe for humans, and part of the reason is because it attacks our gut bacteria, and it disrupts them. So we have huge problems with disrupted gut these days. Celiac disease is something people are very aware of now that hardly even existed. I mean, people didn't even know what it was, really, 10 years ago. Vitamin D deficiency is another thing that's showing up in massive, you know, huge numbers of people are being prescribed massive vitamin D dosages because of vitamin D deficiency. Only in the most recent years, the last 5 years. These are because of glyphosate. Glyphosate disrupts the liver's ability to activate vitamin D, and that is a very simple explanation for the vitamin D deficiency. Celiac disease is a consequence of disrupted gut bacteria, and Anthony Sampson and I wrote a very long paper showing how celiac disease dysfunction, which is a very complex disease, lines up with all the things that glyphosate does. So it kills off the beneficial bacteria, such as lactobacillus, and it allows the pathogens to overgrow, such as C. difficile. This causes the inflammatory gut, the leaky gut. The proteins don't get properly digested. They get into the bloodstream and they cause trouble, such as the proteins in gluten and in casein, to cause these intolerances. There's all these food allergies. The liver is really stressed by glyphosate, and rat studies have shown severe liver damage and also the kidneys, because these are all trying to deal with toxic chemicals. Glyphosate disrupts the liver's ability to detoxify other toxic chemicals in the environment. So everything else becomes more toxic in the context of glyphosate. It's a very slow, it's also an endocrine disruptor at very low concentrations. Researchers are well aware that endocrine disruptors can be missed. You can have the lowest concentration that you use in studies is not low enough to show the endocrine disruption capability. So I believe glyphosate is linked to breast cancer, for example, because of that, and also various problems with fetus development, issues in development. The problems with the brain are complex, but they have to do with several other chemicals that become much more toxic in the context of glyphosate, including glyphosate itself. But aluminum, glutamate, mercury, all of these things are more toxic in the context of glyphosate. And I think this is why the vaccines are being implicated in autism. The vaccines are actually much more toxic today than they were 20 years ago, exactly the same formulation. The reason is because glyphosate is enabling those chemicals in the vaccine to do far more damage than they would otherwise do.
Now, we do know that households and families can buy Roundup at the store to spray on weeds in their yard.
Right.
But some people might not consider is how many farmers actually spray all their crops with the industrial-grade mixtures. What's the difference?
Yeah, well, of course, it's more toxic, the part that's used to kill the weeds in the crops. In fact, the formulation has changed over time, and that's another very interesting thing. The industry has made the decision, that you only have to test the product in isolation. So you test glyphosate when you're trying to see toxicity studies on animals and whatnot. It turns out that, of course, the formulation has other things in it, surfactants and I suspect oxalate, which we're looking into right now. But oxalate is a very interesting molecule that Monsanto has several patents out since even the early 2000, from the beginning of 2000, several different patents talking about oxalate, adding it to herbicide formulations to make the active ingredient more toxic to plants than it would otherwise be. They aren't required to even test the ingredient in the context of these additional things that they're adding. And papers have shown that the herbicide can be up to 1,000 times more toxic than the active ingredient. And this is true for all the herbicides. So this is something they're seeking by the regulatory agencies on, because the extra ingredients are causing the active ingredient to be far more toxic, and even themselves are toxic to the animal.
Now, there's a lot of doctors and health groups that are trying to find a cause for autism. Some link them to vaccines. We've had many experts on this program. How were you able to establish the link from this specific chemical directly to autism?
That's an excellent question, and it's an interesting story, because I've been interested in autism for decades, but about 8 years ago, I got really serious. I was frustrated that it looked like they were spending most of the research money on genetics. Clearly, it's an environmental problem. And I started systematically looking at a number of different possibilities, looking for things that were going up. I didn't think of glyphosate, actually, until 6 years later, because it was supposed to be harmless, and I believed it. But then, once I looked, I realized glyphosate was, in fact, one of those, it's on the short list of toxic chemicals that are going up, you know, in step with autism. Aluminum is another one that's going up, but they've had more aluminum to the vaccines. And I've written papers showing how glyphosate and aluminum are synergistically toxic. They really work together to cause far more harm than either one would working independently. Glutamate is one that I've only identified recently, and I believe that's what's making MMR toxic, the MMR vaccine. And Andrew Wakefield wrote about that over maybe 15 years ago, in a paper that eventually got retracted, and he lost his license, and he had, you know, this terrible response to his paper showing a link between MMR and autism. MMR is mysterious because it doesn't have aluminum, doesn't have mercury, but it does have glutamate, and glutamate is really becoming, to me, a very important factor. Glutamate is a neurotoxin, and it's converted to glutamine by an enzyme that requires manganese. And manganese is severely deficient in cows that are exposed to glyphosate. So this gives you the link to say, oh, my God, maybe the glutamate cannot be detoxified because of the glyphosate, which has disrupted the bioavailability of manganese. And therefore, the glutamate builds up to toxic levels in the brain and causes neuron burnout. And I think that's associated with Alzheimer's as well as autism and probably other neurological diseases as well. Synergistic toxicity between glutamate and glyphosate.
Are you hopeful? You know, doctors like yourself were instrumental in removing lead from fuel that was polluting the environment and getting into the bodies of Americans many, many years ago. And that was a movement against industry to remove that additive from gasoline that we now see, you know, unleaded fuel at the gas pump. Do you see, first of all, a parallel between your research and those doctors, and are you hopeful that we can get these types of chemicals removed from the food supply?
Right. I mean, I'm not very hopeful for the government. I have tried, the government seems to be turning a blind eye. I mean, they are definitely unwilling to face up to this fact, which really disturbs me. I think the government, I mean, we will be in serious trouble. I hope I'm wrong with my prediction, and I know it's very, a little bit outrageous, but I really am trying to wake people up because individuals can choose to take their own health into their own hands by buying only organic food. I've been talking to people, wonderful people, who are working on a program to use cattle to rejuvenate the soil, and it's really great that you can actually just let the land, the crops grow. You let wild things grow on the land, and you let cows eat it, and you can actually improve the quality of the soil, because the soil is being completely destroyed over time by this kind of chemical-based agriculture. It's losing all the carbon. This is also connected to the global warming. You know, I think the agricultural practices that we're doing today are a major contributor to global warming. So we have to change the way we do agriculture, and a forcing function is going to be the consumer. So I have a lot of hope in the consumer and in these people who are trying to solve the problem through things like just growing grass-fed beef, which is a very healthy food. And also the cows will be much healthier, too, if you put them out on the grass instead of putting them in the CAFOs, where they're being fed extremely high levels of glyphosate in their corn and soy GMO Roundup Ready feed. So, you know, a huge, huge step forward would be to take the lands that are now so depleted they can barely produce food, grow grass, feed cows, and fix the problem at that level, you know, through those activities. So I think the consumer is, I have a lot of faith in the consumer. I think the mother of the autistic child is going to be very, very angry, and they're going to be determined to solve their child's problem by going organic. And kids, there's lots of kids who have other problems, ADHD, depression, allergies, asthma, all these things are going up, vitamin D deficiency. All of them are connected to glyphosate. So we need a ban. I mean, the U.S. if I were in the U.S. government and had power, I would ban glyphosate today. It needs to be removed from the environment, period. And, of course, people need to start being proud of the dandelions in their yard and not worrying about, you know, trying to get rid of every weed and having beautiful grass. It's not worth it if you're going to poison your children.
All right, doctor. Thanks.
It's not worth it if you're going to poison your children. The only thing we can do, because there are lobbyists, there are millions of dollars going on to lobbyists to pay and manipulate and bribe our congressmen. You heard it from Stephanie Snuff. She says this so succinctly. Quit buying the GMO foods. We are millions. They are the few. And while these films have been going on that are great educators, tremendous amounts of information. I think this is one of the biggest chats we've ever had of people with links and opinions about what's going on. Dr. McCullough's interview, somebody just posted that. He has two or three interviews with her about what we could do from the bottom up, from joining meetups, from joining our representatives by saying our money shouldn't go to this anymore. And some of you have included that in the chats. Just insist that none of our money goes to pay for any of this and just quit buying it. Think of this. Even if she's wrong, what's going to be the harm in you feeding your kids the most wholesome foods you can find? We are out of time. Any last words, Richard?
Let's see. I'll take a deep breath. I'll breathe into it. I would just say that I think a follow-up to this show, there's a movie out called Dirt that does interviews with a number of leading thinkers, actually a whole bunch of leading thinkers talking about the Earth on the planet. You know, the dirt. What's the condition of the dirt? Farmers talking about dirt, what's been done to the dirt, and the microbiome that's no longer in the dirt. And the movie Dirt is a great collection of those people talking about this issue she's talking about, with the idea of having, you know, cows back in the fields wandering around, making fertilizer, eating grass, having weeds.
Think about what they just found on Mars. They found evidence of man-made nuclear explosion. There's something left over or whatever. And they found it on Mars. Either we were too stupid and we let it out in our atmosphere, it went to Mars, or our ancestors were on Mars and stupidly continued to do this to their planet. Wow. Please share this with anybody you think would be interested. We are happy that you have been with us. There's a lot in the chat for those of you with us on soundhealthoptions.com. Click inside the chat, do control copy, and then paste. And it could take days to go through these wonderful links and opinions that people have talked about. Thank you for being here. I haven't the slightest idea what's going on with our next show, but what we try to do is bring you ideas that'll help you have a better life. Our ideal is to support you to have an optimum life. Thanks for listening. And for most of you, we have this incredibly wonderful, loyal audience. We'll talk to you again on Sunday on our Blog Talk Radio at noon.
All right, everybody. Well, that was a smoking show, Sherry. Wow. I've never seen the chat so on fire. That was amazing. So, everybody have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday.